This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the pink.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McCammon, Medicine Man, and I'm here on Plains FM. And we're going to talk about some things that you might have thought have been healthy and good for you, but they may actually not be. So, look, you've done everything. You know, you've stood upside down, you've stuck crystals in your ears, you've done on vegan fasts, you've tried this and you've tried that, and you've still got the old bloaty tummy, and you're wondering why. Maybe I might have an answer for you today. So we'll have a little bit of a ditty, and we'll come back to you soon. So, welcome back to The Medicine Man. Mike McCammon on Plains FM. We're going to be talking about these little creatures, or actually chemicals called lectins, not Hannibal Lecter or the lectern. Lectins, they're chemicals that plants produce to keep pests away, insect pests, just like us, because our nervous system's, you know, fairly similar to an insect, believe it or not. But anyway, plants don't actually want to be eaten, and some of them really actually make steps to use chemical warfare because they can't sort of get up and walk away. But there are certain plants that you might be thinking are really good for you, and they're actually high in these chemicals called lectins. So the interesting thing about lectins, or the horrifying thing about them, is they actually punch holes in your gut. Isn't that extraordinary? Yes. So if you've got bloat, headaches, eczema, and you've done everything, right? You've actually done everything. It's just possible that you might be sensitive some of the foods that you're eating that you consider good. And in fact, you know, if you look at the nutritional value of some of these high lectin foods, they're loaded with goodies. But unfortunately, the goodies don't necessarily do you any good when they're loaded with lectins also. Because what happens when the chemicals hit the gut wall, they punch a hole in the gut. And what are lectins? Okay, what are the foods that have got lectins? So I do want to let you know that the guy who's done most of the work in this, however, and the guy I've used, drawn from his knowledge, is a guy called Dr. Stephen Gundry, who's a medical doctor who spent a lot of time learning all about lectins, and he is a cardiovascular surgeon, and he's quite famous. He's treated a lot of people. He's a, as I say, he's a heart surgeon. But what he did notice that people that had a lot of lectins in their diet had a greater incidence of heart disease, and it goes on. So, but you can always look him up, because I'm just going to make this real simple for you as I do. But his name is Dr. Stephen Gundry, and you can just look him up on Google and find out all about lectins. But let's just go on in the simple way. What are lectins? They're natural chemists, right? Plants are natural chemists because they're incredibly complex structures, and they can't sort of get up and walk away. So they can't sort of put up their dukes, as it were. They can't sort of fight you off, although some do with prickles. But they use their natural chemistry to protect themselves from animals that want to eat them. And human beings, us, would quite like to munch a lot of these plants. But because they're around a lot longer than we were, or we've been, the plants have been able to evolve this sort of chemical way of defense, okay? And actually proteins, and they're called lectins. So it turns out that these lectins are particularly designed specifically to protect the plants from us, right? Which is probably a good idea for the plant, but not such a good idea for us, because the lectins are like little barnacles, apparently, according to Stephen Gundry. They're like little barnacles, and they look for specific sugar mechanisms in our gut and in our blood. And in the lining of our guts and on our nerves, when they find a good spot to land, they cling to these cells because they're after the sugars, and they break down the ability to communicate with their immune system. But basically, putting it simply, they tear open holes in our gut. And what happens when you get holes in our gut? Now, remember, our gut lining is only one cell thick, and it's about the area of a tennis court if our whole digestive system was ironed out. So if you get holes in the gut, what happens is you get pieces of fecal material. In other words, you get poos and wees, not only of your own waste, but you get the waste of bacteria and pathogens and the lectins themselves that kind of piggyback into the bloodstream with pieces of protein and your own poo. So can you imagine the stuff getting into your bloodstream? And of course, I see it when I do live blood analysis, because the blood looks actually pretty disgusting when you've got a diet that, or if in, in patients that are sensitive to lectins. So they're doing all the right thing, but they're eating these wonderful foods high in lectins. So what are the foods that are actually high in lectins? Well, the main ones are actually the nightshade family. That's tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, and capsicum. They're high in lectins. So I was wondering myself when I was ripping into tomato juice, because I love tomato juice, but I was really going for it, and wondering why I was getting bloat and all that. But obviously I had to cut down on the tomato juice. Now, tomatoes are okay if you take the seeds out and the skin, because the lectins are in the skin and the seeds. However, how many people do that? Well, the Italians and the Greeks do when they make their tomato paste. They skin the tomatoes and they scoop out the seeds, and they use it without the seed. And that's the only way to eat tomatoes. So while you're having these seeds, it's going to irritate your gut lining. The other thing is nuts, and particularly almonds. They're totally loaded with lectins. Oh, peanuts are pretty awful too. They're not really a nut, they're a legume. But beans and legumes and peanuts in particular. Now, if you do want to have nuts, well, the best thing to do is actually to soak them overnight, but not many people do that. And when you soak them overnight, you can soak them in brine. I've talked about that before, and it helps to get the lectins out of there. The other thing, if you want to eat beans and lentils, is to soak them overnight and then cook them in a pressure cooker. And even better, when you do cook them, you cook them with a bay leaf. These are just little tricks you can do, and they're so simple, isn't it? So let's, I'm not saying to have a lectin-free diet, because that's pretty difficult and restrictive. And as you probably figured out by now, I do not like restrictive diets. It's a little bit over-the-top fanatic. We've got to have a middle path here. But there are some things that you need to limit. And the first thing really is to limit beans and legumes. And, you know, if they're not cooked properly, you know, they make you have a little bit of wind and gas, don't they? And that's partly because of the lectins and the phytic acid that's in there, which actually prevents you digesting them properly. But beans carry more lectins than any other food. So if you want to your best, you know, if you want to be at your best, try to limit beans, peas, lentils, and other legumes, or cook them in a pressure cooker. And this is the way to get around it. You can still have all these things, but you're best to soak them overnight. And next day, cook them with a bay leaf in there, because that helps the digestion too. And use a pressure cooker, and that limits the legume. So some legumes also hide as nuts. So it's best to cut out peanuts, and particularly those poisonous things called cashew nuts. I shouldn't say that if you're in the cashew nut selling business. And we all love cashews, but cashews are particularly high in lectins and can cause all sorts of problems. And like migraines and headaches and tummy problems and all sorts of things, okay? So the other thing is grains. Now, I've talked about this before, but we only started to use grains in our diet about 10,000 years ago in the so-called Neolithic Revolution, when we started to figure out that wild grasses can be cultivated. And I might say that the early wheat's completely different than the wheat we eat today, but I've already had a talk about that. But there's high gluten, but it's not just the gluten in the grains, it's actually the lectin. So for the most part, grains are a relatively new food for us. So our hunter-gatherer ancestors didn't really search around for grains, okay? Most grains are lectin bombs, right? As well as gluten-free grain substitutes, it's best to limit grain intake. But strange to say, we always used to think that if you're going to eat wheat, have whole grain bread. And I certainly made that mistake. But it turns out that the whole grains, the outside coating of the grain, is the highest in lectin. And actually, it turns out that white flour is better for you. White bread's better for you than wholemeal grain, isn't that? Oh boy, things, you know, we're always finding something new. And this is the thing with when it comes to the area of this kind of work, we there's a few precious sort of ideas that have to be abandoned as we expand and we grow. So we don't always get it right. But apparently, for a lot of people, white bread is better for you than whole grain bread. So I finally said it. Never thought I'd say that, but I have. Okay, so squash vegetables with seeds, basically considered fruits, like squash, pumpkin, zucchinis. The seeds and peels of these fruits are full of lectin, so you make sure you toss the peels and the seeds aside. You know, peel them. Okay, so if you're making a pumpkin, obviously you get rid of the seeds, but you peel the pumpkin. You know, a lot of people just chop the pumpkin up with the skin on it, but you need to take that skin off and make this beautiful pumpkin soup without lectins. But a common one for those people, that if you've got arthritis, any pain anywhere in the joints, arthritis or gout, the nightshade family is something you should avoid. Now, nightshades are vegetables that include eggplant, any kind of peppers, potatoes and tomatoes. Isn't that disappointing, isn't it? Potatoes, how we love potatoes, nothing better than a baked potato, all those new potatoes. So I'm not saying completely eliminate them, but if you do have any arthritic problems, if you have any inflammation problems, or any immune problems or gut problems and sometimes skin problems, or if you get headaches, have a go at eliminating the nightshade family of all those foods. I'll say them again. So it's eggplants. Now, I've never eaten an eggplant in my life, frankly, however, some people do. Any kind of pepper, you know, red peppers, green peppers, potatoes and tomatoes. That's a biggie, isn't it? Especially coming up when it's going to be summer and we're going to have all these tomatoes. But if you have the tomatoes, you need to peel them and get rid of the seeds, okay? And just see how you go for a couple of weeks on that, even 10 days, and just see if that makes any difference with your headaches or your digestive problems. And again, with fruit, try not to have too much fruit. Two pieces of fruit a day is perfectly fine. When you have too much, you can have too many lectins as well. So, however, having said that, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't have any tomatoes or any potatoes. You know, you might want to have special treats of potatoes once a week, baked potatoes on a fry, whatever. Okay, but try to limit them. But the things that you really do need to cut out, if you have any problems with the gut, are these following foods, okay, that are considered healthy in some areas. And that's corn, basically corn. Corn and some meats. It doesn't make much to see why corn's among the worst lectin-filled grains, because, you know, the corn is, again, it's used for fattening up cattle, isn't it, in some places. So corn is very high in lectins. For those people that are lectin intolerant also, the A1 milk is pretty good too. A couple of thousand years ago, apparently cows in Northern Europe suffered a genetic mutation, and the result was a lectin-like protein in their milk called casein A1. And it turns out that casein A1 is converted to a protein called beta-caseomorphin, and the protein can prompt an immune attack on the pancreas of people who consume milk from these cows. So in other words, if you've got diabetes, you really need to have A1 milk. I meant A2 milk, not A1 milk. Avoid A1 milk if you're diabetic, okay? So see if you can stick to the A2 milk or goat's milk, A2 cow's milk, or just goat's milk. And you've also got, I like coconut milk myself, but I don't tend to have the almond milk because the almond milk tends to have lectins as well. But anyway, that's kind of, you could say that's the bad news. Let's just focus on the good news, eh? Let's finish on a good note. What can you have? Potatoes, right? Sweet potatoes. Kumaras, yams, parsnips and pumpkins, because their roots have got strong absorption abilities and draw water and minerals from the soil for nourishment. So these root vegetables are incredibly good for you, and they're very grounding if you're feeling a little bit ungrounded. They really settle the nervous system, and they're very high in fiber, and it feeds your good bugs. But try to avoid potatoes or have potatoes once a week. But it's the kumaras, yams, parsnips and pumpkins that are incredibly good, and they are considered to be prebiotics. In other words, they feed the good gut bacteria, and they're delicious. Now, it's okay to use butter, but I suggest that you might want to try coconut fat. It's just beautiful with it. And coconut fat is also anti-lectin, and it's a really good soother of the intestinal system. And it's got the right fats for pacifying inflammation. The other thing that's really good to rip into, and we really should be having, I think it's 2.2 kilos, or is it 2.8 kilos of greens every day? It's pretty hard to do. That's why I'm fairly big on supplements, because we do need the equivalent of 2.8 kilos of greens every day. But do your best. So it's romaine, red and green lettuces, kohlrabi, spinach is pretty amazing, and butter lettuce, my favourite lettuce, with parsley. Fennel is pretty good, anti-lectin, and seaweed and sea vegetables are all great to add to a lectin-free diet. So these are all high in nutrients and credible for your health. So they're also quite filling, you know. So if you've got, you've got a cooked kumara, and you've got your leafy greens, and you put lashings of olive oil on it, and you've got some steamed cruciferous, I think it's called cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli, which is another one, which is anti-lectin, so it helps to protect your gut lining. And that's broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. Lectin-free veggies in your diet, and you have much of them as often as you like asparagus, garlic, mushrooms, onions. They're full of fiber and these wonderful things called polyphenols, which we don't have time to go into, but they're incredibly good for you and incredibly yummy. So the key word is yummy, yummy. And of course, the best of them all, or coming up to the next couple of ones that are really good, is avocados. Now, they are incredibly good for you. It's actually, it's a fruit, but it's okay to eat when it's ripe because it's essentially sugar-free. Isn't that amazing? It's a fruit that when it's ripe, it's actually sugar-free. But it's also, not to mention this, it's full of good fat and lots of soluble fiber. So it's incredibly good for you. And these things help to absorb antioxidants as well. But avocado is lectin-free and it's delicious. And I have to say, it's really great with a little bit of good old-fashioned Worcester sauce and some natural salt and pepper on it, absolutely fantastic. So the next thing is to have as much as you can of olive oil and olives, because they're filled with essential vitamins and minerals. And the interesting thing about those, they've got this wonderful vitamin K, vitamin E, they've got calcium, they've got iron, they've got sodium, potassium, and lots of these wonderful polyphenols and fatty acids. So olives and olive oil and avocados are all superfoods. So the interesting thing about olives is that olives and olive oil can contribute to reducing your inflammation, okay, if you've got any autoimmune diseases. So the key is to have as low lectins in your diet as possible. And remember, try to limit your nuts, and cashews and almonds are the worst. Lots of leafy greens. And yes, if you're not having 2.8 kilos of green leafy vegetables a day. You will need supplements, but that's when you go and see a naturopath and you talk about the correct ones for you. And I suggest that is so worth doing. Okay, so look, it's so wonderful to talk about all this, and I hope that you've got some useful information, even if it's only one single thing, like no potatoes for 10 days and see how you feel. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Okay, so this is Mike McCammon on Plains FM. It's been great to talk to you today, and we'll catch up next week. Goodbye.